We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Fly ball deep left. There's the catch. Ramirez tags. Here comes the throw. And the Marlins have beaten the Braves. Utter bullpen collapse.
From the Kia Studios in Midtown Atlanta, this is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Will Pelagic here with you, Willie P in the house for the next 3.5 hours, taking you all the way up till Atlanta United hosts NYCFC. Lot on the menu today, Braves, Falcons, United, college football, the whole bit, and we're here to take you through the afternoon. Telephone number to get in touch with us, 404-741-0929. Those, of course, also the text line, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line is the same number, 404-741-0929. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at 92.9 The Game, and you can follow me on Twitter at Willie P. Style. Have you seen the movie Groundhog Day? Because I feel like that's where Braves fans feel like they're sitting right now. Every game is the same. There isn't any variance. And as a result, you have a very, I would say, weird situation with regards to this team. And I'm not going to come at you with the same type of energy that I had last week where I said, guess what? I told you so. Because I feel like it's been well documented that I was very much out in front of this because I said that the market at the trade deadline wasn't any better than what was on your roster. Part and parcel last night. It all blows up. Even guys who basically you thought of could be other parts of this bullpen that have been good, like Newcomb, throwing error, gives up a fly ball and the sacrifice fly and the ball game's over. You saw Green melt down in the ninth inning. You saw Melanson give up four hard ground ball singles. It just doesn't seem to really be anything that the Braves can do to just have their bullpen continue to throw up like this. And listening to Brian Snitker last night was something to behold. Because I think that if you look at him over the course of these last couple of weeks with the team, you'd feel like he has made some defensible decisions. But when it comes down to it, the manager just can't seem to press the right button.
You couldn't get a ground ball to go to anybody. It just went in. It was just a screwed up inning, pretty much. I mean, like you say, we had ground balls, just couldn't get him to hit him at him. And, you just keep giving guys chances and comes back and bites you.
That is Brian Snitker on the collapse by Melanson. And it's weird because you see he got ground balls. Positioning was just not where they needed to be. And as a result, Mark Melanson puts that defeat on him.
We're going to come together real nice. You know, it's coming soon. We got some kinks to work out and we're going to do that. We got a lot of mentally strong guys here. It's a little bit like spring training right now, you know, with everything. But there's no excuse, and I didn't pitch well tonight, and I deserve to give up some runs.
Better come soon for the Atlanta Braves because you have a surging team in the New York Mets who will be in your building here pretty soon, and you have other teams across baseball that at least look like they've improved off of the trade deadline, not just in the National League, but the American League as well. The Braves, since the All-Star break, have been shaky at best. And in a series where you looked at this as part of the weak part of their schedule, four games against Miami that split the two series against the Twins, Mets, as well as the Dodgers coming up. You get three more with Miami, and then you are done with them for the season. This is basically your last break between these couple of weeks. We'll know a heck of a lot more about the National League East by the time we get to August the 26th, because you will have played the Mets six times. You will play the Dodgers for the three games in SunTrust Park. And you're on the precipice of getting some more weak parts of the schedule with Toronto and the White Sox in interleague play before rendezvousing with the Nationals, who also have similar bullpen issues. But the one thing that you have to understand if you are a Braves fan is this. There was never going to be a quick fix with this bullpen. The guy who was supposed to be a franchise-changing relief pitcher slash closer was not available. Just wasn't. And the fact that this organization, while admirably, went out and made three big moves, bold, shrewd moves, eschewing a way of thinking that had dominated this franchise's history, where they clutched to prospects and prospect hug. And while I applauded them for those moves in the moment, I still had in the back of my mind the thought of, are you really replacing anything better with what is better than what you have currently right now? And we're finding out, unfortunately for the Braves, part and parcel, it has not looked that good for them. Of course, Mike Foltynewicz will get the start today against Hector Nowosilski. He, of course, allowed three runs over 5 1/3 in his return to the major leagues after he was demoted from demoted to AAA. Had the victory, though, against the Twins on Tuesday. He also has been throwing his slider, which we'll talk about with our friend Joe Patrick about 10 minutes from now, and how that move back to that pitch has affected him positively over the course of his time with Atlanta. And while the Braves sit in a very still enviable position with where they sit in the Major League Baseball standings, especially in the National League East, you hope that things start to peak in the right direction for them. Because too much of what we've seen over the course of the last couple of days is even in the games they win. A couple of nights ago, it wasn't exactly a sparkling finish for them. And the first night also did not look good as well out of the bullpen. So it has been this lack of ease, this strife, anytime you get to the late innings. And it's not to say that my original point, the fact that you needed probably another starter, is validated by this, but my initial thesis going into the July 31st was that if you tried to go all out, all to the wall on this bullpen to try and remake it, you better not give up a prospect that is somebody who you really want for the future. And it's fine that they didn't, but there wasn't a quick fix. There wasn't anything from that perspective that looked forth as franchise-changing, and we're seeing that now play out for the Atlanta Braves. Will Polacek again here with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Watched the Falcons preseason game twice. I always like to watch a game twice, only because of the fact that first time, you don't really know what to expect, and that the second time back, I watched the condensed version and at least gave a little bit more of a closer view on some of the things that you can take from this game. I don't think the defense had as bad of a day as has been portrayed, but the one thing that would cause me concern is how great you made Preston Williams look. I mean, this is a guy who, for a lot of people, you know, casual football fans probably know who he is, but if you're somebody who is just a Falcons fan and nothing more, you had no idea who this guy was. Played at Colorado State. Somebody from that perspective is, you know, obviously somebody who came in to the league with undervalued or overlooked perspective. Entered the 2019 NFL draft foregoing his senior season. Didn't exactly have a starling career at Tennessee. Just 16 catches, 247 yards in two seasons before transferring to Colorado State. Had 96 catches in 2018 and 14 touchdowns, and he made the Falcons look silly the other night. So from that perspective, I look at him and I say, how do you let this guy beat you? Jake Rudock led a touchdown drive. Those aren't good things for the Falcon D. Way too many penalties. Jermaine Grace gets the very nice pick. And I think Matt Schaub, after what many thought was kind of a shaky game in the Hall of Fame game, kind of stabilized himself And, you know, that combined with Bankert's injury probably makes him the odds-on guy to at least be your backup quarterback. Austin Larkin had a great game. It's funny how the Hall of Fame game will be known as the John Kaminsky game. This was the Austin Larkin game because he was great on the opening drive. He was able to make things happen from the defensive end side, got in a couple of quarterback pressures. Also saw a couple of different pressures. Hamp Cheevers dropped an interception as well. And, you know, also like what we saw out of the backfield from Kadri Allison. He wasn't necessarily somebody who you might have thought was a high-level contender for big playing time, but he at least made himself known in the similar way that Brian Hill did in the Hall of Fame game. Plenty more extra observations on the Falcons coming an hour from now. We're going to get into the Antonio Brown mess. I find this to be utter nonsense. And we'll also get into the Five Stripes, who today play a big match against NYCFC a couple of hours from now. Also, time for you. 404-741-0929 is the phone number. Love to hear from you on the Braves bullpen collapse, Falcons observations, Atlanta United, college football, the whole bit. We'll kick it off with our pal Joe Patrick, Braves reporter for 92.9 The Game. I'll ask him, is there hope for Folty today? And what seems to be going faulty with the Braves bullpen? Will Polacek here with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and the radio.com app.
You get an opportunity to get runs. That's what you got to do, and you got to go out there. And when you have the luxury to have some of the guys that we do off the bench, it'd be a hard decision not to put one of those guys in and give him a shot. Ultimately, it's about getting the win for the team. And it's not my job to question that. It's my job to go out there and pitch whenever I'm told.
That's the voice of Braves starter Mike Soroka yesterday, who looked good, but game necessity put him in a position where he had to be pulled probably a little bit sooner than he wanted to. Again, led to the Braves bullpen once again melting down and losing yesterday. It's time to head to the WaitFor.com hotline. We are joined by Braves 92.9 The Game reporter Joe Patrick here on the line. And Joe, I feel like we kind of had the same storyline a week ago when you and I chatted. I used the term Groundhog Day. I'm sure you probably feel very similarly as looking at this team. It just seems like the same problems keep creeping up, especially with this bullpen.
Yeah, you're right. The bullpen is kind of tough to wrap your head around it because the bullpen is been good in innings like 6 through 8. Those middle innings, those guys have actually been very good this season, pretty much throughout the year. It's obviously just been this ninth inning that has really caused, you know, innumerable troubles for the Braves this season, and it hasn't really mattered who it is. And to me, it just feels mental for that exact reason, that it's kind of plagued everybody who's been in that role, whether it's Luke Jackson, whether it's Shane Green, who had a sub-2 ERA this season with the Tigers, and many saves for them, and now Mark Melancon is kind of suffering from it as well. You know, it's just, it seems mental. It seems like, and that's what's most troubling for me, is it seems like these guys kind of know that this has been a problem for this team all season long, and it seems like it's affecting them. Like, I know Mark, said after the game last night that, his confidence isn't shaken and all these things. And those are good things. You know, you want to hear the players say that. But from watching from the outside, it certainly seems like these guys, aren't really having the struggles when the leverage, when the situations, when there isn't that much pressure. But when they get in for these opportunities in the ninth inning, there's problems that crop up that they don't typically have. So not something you want to see from a team that's fighting to try to, win this division and make the playoffs.
You know, Joe, I know that a lot of this falls at the feet of the manager, but I almost kind of feel like Brian Snitker is between a rock and a hard place right now. It feels like he's pushing all the right buttons, and it feels like he's using the bullets he has to work with. It's just it comes down to the players at this point. I know that the manager kind of gets this all squarely kind of put on him, but from my perspective, I feel like he's kind of at a loss right now, and you heard that from his comments a night ago.
Yeah, I'm with you, and I think that what we've seen from Brian Snitker, actually, I feel like a lot of the complaints you typically hear from baseball fans in general, not just Braves fans, but just fans across the board, get upset and frustrated with managers based on them kind of sticking with guys or sticking, with certain things that they believe will work and just those things don't ever turn out to work sometimes. And with Brian Snicker, you know, he's been very, you know, malleable in his approach to managing the Braves. You know, he started out the season with Ender Inciarte leading off and Ronald Acuña hitting fourth. Now, whether you agree or disagree with that strategy to start the season is irrelevant, because he did go back and change after he saw the results that he was getting with that. You know, he's not been afraid to move guys around and choose the guy that he thinks is best for certain situations. And it's just, you know, the pitchers just aren't getting it done. You know, he's given Shane Green a shot. He's put Mark Melanson out there, obviously. Earlier this season, we've seen, you know, Luke Jackson and come in and take over the position after A.J. Minter wasn't getting it done. You know, it's easy to kind of forget the fact that this bullpen situation, the whole landscape there was completely different at the very beginning of the season. So, you know, it's been, you know, Brian Snicker has made the adjustments. It's just sometimes the players just haven't performed when they've had the opportunities to do so.
Yeah, and Joe, he's somebody who has been looked at very much, and I think because of that, probably has more loyalty to guys who've come up in the organization just because of his attachment to the Braves organization, the fact that he's moved his way up in the way he is, and probably knows these players a lot better than other managers and other teams do, but I'm kind of with you. He's not that same manager anymore. He understands that a lot of times if a guy just doesn't seem to have it in a particular role, kind of like with Luke Jackson earlier this year, he's punted on situations, and I feel like that is now an unfair characteristic of him. How do you feel?
Yeah, you know, I think to me he runs the team like a meritocracy. You know, the players that perform, the players that have shown that they deserve to be in the positions to, you know, be in the starting lineup or be in the starting rotation or be in the bullpen, those are the guys that perform are going to be those guys. We've seen it with the starting rotation as well. You know, Kevin Gausman hadn't gotten the job done. He was, you know, put on waivers. You've seen several guys come up and down in those situations. Mike Foltynewicz was demoted to AAA despite being an all-star last year. And I think that move is looking, hopefully, like it's going to pay off. He obviously starts again today. I think that he's actually been very fair with the players in terms of putting in the guys that are going to help the team, just to put it as bluntly as possible. And I don't think that doesn't mean that he's unloyal to some of these guys. They all know the situation. And, you know, I think that for that reason, they all respect him. They all respect the fact that Brian Snicker wants to put the best players on the field that give the Braves the best chance of winning. And I think that that's what everybody in the clubhouse wants, ultimately.
Braves reporter Joe Patrick joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as the Braves finish out their series against the Marlins, looking for the split. Mike Foltynewicz, as you mentioned, on the mound here this afternoon. He threw his slider a career-high 46.5% of the time in his return to the majors on Tuesday in Minnesota. To me, that was one of the big key points of why he went back to AAA to try and rework his approach, rework everything. How much of a key is that to seeing him succeed long-term as the stretch drive begins?
Yeah, I think what you saw from Mike Foltynewicz in his first start back was exactly what you wanted to see from him. Like, and it's, but when it comes down right to what you said, with throwing all those sliders, I mean, that's the key for him. That was the pitch that made him such a successful guy last year, made him an all-star. And this year, it's the pitch that also hurt him in spring training, and he was never kind of able to get that quite back to where he wanted. Threw a lot of kind of cement mixer sliders that got hit for home runs. The home runs really plagued him earlier in the season. And I really liked what he had to say afterwards. He said, you know, when the reporter asked him why it's so much more effective now, he just said he's just throwing it with absolute full conviction, throwing it as hard as he can. And that's the way he has to operate. And I just think that the way that, you know, maybe it was, you know, he threw a slider, the elbow injury that he suffered in spring training was when he threw that slider. So maybe he was just trying to be a little bit more tentative with it, trying not to, you know, overdo it at times. And I think that it's really good to see him throw the slider as many times as he did, like you said, and then also just to see the action he was getting with it. Lots of swings and misses. You know, he could throw it for strikes, could throw it for balls. You know, it was really good to see, and that's because that's been the one thing that's been missing from his repertoire this season. That was, again, that made him so successful last year. So hopes are looking up for him.
Of course, a guy today in Hector Noah C starting for the Marlins, his second start back in the big leagues. He pitched for three different teams since 2011 before coming to the Marlins. He was originally a member of the Yankee organization and then spent a cup of coffee with Seattle and the White Sox with limited success. Not a lot of experience against him. How do you see the Braves attacking Noah Syl? Because to me, it seems like while you have limited experience against him, this always can kind of be a feast or famine type afternoon, especially with that perspective.
Yeah, you know, with a lot of ball clubs, sometimes you see guys struggle even if a pitcher isn't as talented, they just haven't seen him that much. There isn't a whole lot of tape on him. Batters can struggle, because they don't know how to approach him. They don't know, what exactly he's going to come at them with. So I think what you might see early in this game is a lot of more pitches taken earlier, like the first time through the order, trying to see how he's going to approach each guy. And then because this Braves team, they've got such good veteran hitters, very savvy, cerebral guys, talking about Freddie Freeman, Ronald Acuna, Josh Donaldson. These guys can pick up on the way that a pitcher is going to face them when they see them one time, and then come back and make adjustments through the next times in the order. So I'd expect the Braves to be kind of taking a little bit more early in the game, and then try to really attack and pound on them in the later innings.
I know that we got the report the other day that Dansby Swanson still not close to returning, and of course still waiting on a prognosis on Nick Markakis for September or October. Who in the Braves lineup has benefited the most in your mind from the exit of those guys? Is it's created an opportunity for a couple different players.
Yeah, we've seen Adam Duvall. He got off to a really hot start when Markakis went down. I think the player who's benefited from these injuries the most is Johan Camargo, because, he's a guy that hasn't really been performing this year, and he's kind of gotten an opportunity to just stick around the ball club because, he helps make up the numbers, and he can play a number of different positions that can help the Braves. So I think he's been, honestly, the primary beneficiary of all these injuries. And, it shows. Last night he hit a big homer that felt at the time like it was a very clutch homer that was going to basically be, the spike in the heart that led the Braves to victory, which is a very unfortunate situation that it didn't turn out to be that way, because it could have been a big, mental lift for a guy like Camargo, who's been struggling this year. But I think he's been huge. And then also you got, Charlie Culberson has taken his opportunities with this team. It's really striking to see just the impact he can make on a game. He gives you very good defense. Outside of one, he had one mistake yesterday that was costly for the Braves. But, overall, he's been very good. He's hitting .330 or something in about 100 plate appearances this season. So got to give it to someone like Culberson, who's even come in and pitched a couple times this season just to chew up some innings for the Braves. But still, the guy is willing to play anywhere and everywhere. And if there's opportunities for him to play, he's going to come in and perform.
Hear his stuff, of course, there on 92.9 The Game all across the week. Catch his stuff in a home clubhouse as well with the Braves. Braves reporter Joe Patrick here on 92.9 The Game. Thanks so much for the time, Joe. Enjoyed it.
Appreciate it, Will.
That is Joe Patrick here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I knew this guy was a diva, but I didn't think he'd take it to this level. And quite honestly, I almost feel like part of this is real and part of this is farcical. We delve into the Antonio Brown, what I call nonsense, when we come back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, 404-741-0929 is the phone number. That's how you get in touch with me, at Willie P. Style on Twitter, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, at 92.9 The Game. We've had a lot so far to talk about, mostly Braves. I do want to get into the Falcons here coming up top of the next hour. Also want to get into some five-stripe stuff as well. And also this situation with Antonio Brown, which, look, I understand that people always do whatever they can to get out of the farce that is training camp. I mean, in reality, these guys are training year-round. Training camp, as a rule, I will go so far as to say is, I don't want to say an outdated entity, but it is something that to me is a thing that is more indicative of a time gone by than it is of time in 2019, because these guys all train year-round. This was more meant for guys who would literally go out in the off season, smoke cigarettes and drink beers and go away, things of that nature, and come back to camp out of shape. And this is what made you get yourself into shape. Well, these guys now almost look like finely tuned machines. And in 2019, they come to camp already pretty much in shape. A little bit of fine-tuning, a little bit of this and that here and there, chemistry, and that puts you in the ability to have enough oomph to get you ready for the NFL season upcoming. And Antonio Brown, I think this is very much a non-transparent way of basically trying to avoid going in and actually doing the work that is required of others during training camp. He, of course, had the situation with the feet, which we all understand about now, with a cryotherapy incident where he was not wearing the proper footwear in the cryotherapy chamber, which, by the way, those things scare me to death, the cryotherapy thing. I wouldn't be caught dead in one of those things because I hate the cold. I don't understand any reason why you'd want to go in there and make yourself so cold that your feet get frostbite if they don't have the right footwear on. So that particular incident with Antonio Brown has ruined that experience for me forever. And I also think that from the standpoint of where he sits, he also has this situation involving the helmet. Now, far be it for me to speak with any kind of authority on this, because I the level of football that I played and the level of football that he played, vastly different. I was basically the kind of guy who took the helmet that was assigned to me, and no matter which helmet I got, it was uncomfortable as heck. I knew it was supposed to protect me, but as a result, it wasn't necessarily something that I thought of one way or the other. I cameoed as a football player for three varsity seasons before bowing out unceremoniously. And because of this, I understand Antonio Brown's his feelings about this. I remember Brian McFadden on the air yesterday saying something to the effect of, "Oh, it's kind of like a haircut." And while I respect that, I also don't think it's something where you have to threaten to retire over it. I know that Tom Brady has balked at this, and Aaron Rodgers has done the same thing and said, you know, I've been wearing this helmet my entire career. Why should I change now? So, well, you know, the NFL is in a very, very tough spot. The NFL is in a tough spot where they need to do anything possible to stop being named in all these lawsuits from former players, other people who have grievances with the league as a result of their laissez-faire attitude in the past against head injuries and player safety, which is also why I find it completely hypocritical that the league wants to go to 18 games and get rid of two preseason games. In a rant that I've had before on this program, it's all about the money. In my opinion, I don't understand how you can be trying to talk about player safety and also extending the regular season by two games. But this is, to me, another example of why the Pittsburgh Steelers have to be completely just elated that this guy is not their problem anymore. And this is a franchise who, for the most part of its history, has been the bastion of stability, the bastion of normalcy in the National Football League. A lot of that has kind of lost its luster in the last couple of years, but one thing you don't know, or one thing you do know, rather, is that the Roonies don't put up with any crap. And because of that, that is why Antonio Brown got traded. And he got traded to the one organization that has one winning season in the last 16 years. One. Not four, not three, not one in the last 16 years in the Oakland Raiders. A team desperate to take him. And because of that, now he comes in and has this little diva nature situation with his helmet. And I'm wondering if this is not just a total posturing for him to try and at least say that he wants to not basically be in training camp and report at the beginning of September. 404-741-0929 is the phone number. Let's go to Mel, who is in Southwest Atlanta. And Mel, you are on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How are you, pal?
Well, one thing I want to say. I disagree with you.
Go ahead.
I know you want to talk about Antonio Brown, and he's a headache and so forth. He's a veteran. You know, the Packers had a player that went in the Hall of Fame, didn't go to training camp. He didn't go to camp. He had excuses not to go to camp.
Yeah, but he also didn't threaten to retire because of the helmet he was wearing. Just say what you're going to say. Just say, I don't want to go to training camp.
Look, that's what I want to say, though. But training camp and preseason serve a purpose, man. They serve a purpose for players that be on the team for 2 years and a purpose for draft choices. It do serve a purpose.
I'm not saying it doesn't serve a purpose.
I don't get your grip about that the football league needs to change. Change what? The veterans already don't play.
You're not wrong.
I don't get your grip. But like I said, it's good for second-year players and the players that's in the draft. The coaches need to see what they can do, man.
I don't disagree with you that the preseason doesn't serve a purpose. The thing that I don't like, and this is from a fan perspective, is that if you are a PSL holder and a season ticket holder of your Atlanta Falcons, you have to pay full price to watch what is being marketed as real football and is not real football. That's the thing that I don't like if you're a fan with the preseason. It's a farce. It's a total farce. Yes, it has a purpose for the rookies and the second-year players and the guys who are trying to make teams or get jobs elsewhere. I'm not saying it doesn't serve a purpose. I'm just saying it needs to be changed and not be something that is what we look at currently. That's what I think. Roger, let's get Roger in real quick from Griffin. Roger, you're on Sports Radio 929 The Game. How are you, pal?
All right. I just say, fine, let the players sign a contract. That they can wear that helmet, but at the end of it, I don't care if they live to be 100, they cannot come back and sue the NFL for concussion. So you're welcome to wear that helmet, but you're going to sign something, and then it's over and done with, and you cannot come back because they've obviously worn that helmet for the entirety of their career. So then you know, okay, it was the helmet's reason, but you just fine. You can wear it, but you're going to sign a contract. You cannot come back.
That's a good take, Roger. I agree with that take. I agree with that from that perspective. Do we have time for Wayne in Decatur? We'll hold Wayne. Wayne, if you held through the break, we can get you in on the other side. Want to get into that and this story involving a college player in our state wrongfully accused of something. And it's funny, he was telling the truth, but the cops didn't believe him. And some people need to make some retractions with regards to this player. We'll talk about that. Wayne and Decatur, you're up next. We'll continue to talk about this as we continue on Sports Radio 929 The Game, 929thegame.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.